Good Monday evening, everybody. I am your host of the Monday Night Kickoff Show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. On the phone I have joining me tonight, Mark the Landing Crew Wheeler. How are you, bud?
What's going on, man?
Nothing, man. I'm glad to hear that you weren't too terribly close to the jet crash there. I mean, I know you were pretty close, but you weren't affected by it, so...
Yeah, it was pretty wild. I'm sitting there at Rudy Inlet and saw a plane doing something weird, and then all of a sudden it just goes down. I was like, oh, wow. That's not supposed to happen.
That's crazy, man. It's crazy stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, luckily no one was, seriously hurt. Just a few burns and some lacerations from people getting out of its way and, just amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's always amazing whenever something like that happens. I don't know how that can take place, but it's crazy.
Yeah,
definitely crazy. Yeah. But did you get to do? How was your fishing while you were out there anyway?
Excellent. Took out Jack Spillane, Hatchet Jack, and we started off fishing and catching a few blues and kind of putzing around because the wind was really blowing. And we went to move spots, and Jack threw out a mirror lure, started trolling it, and hooked up on a 22-inch speckled trout, just a big old beast. And the smile he had from ear to ear was awesome. And then, from then on, it was just, small speckled trout and blues and just a bunch of other stuff, mixed in there. Tried to find some reds, but couldn't get into them until later in the day, and it was just a good, good day.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad you had a good time out there. How was your Easter? Did you have a good Easter with the family?
Yeah, I had a good Easter. My wife had duty on Sunday. So we celebrated it on Saturday, and it's always nice to be with the fam family.
Yeah, it's good times. We did a couple Easter egg hunts with the boys, and it's fun because Trey's now at the age where watching him run around collect Easter eggs is a little bit more entertaining than it was last year when he didn't really have a concept of what.
Can you hear me, Chuck? If you can hear me, Chuck, we just lost Chuck. I apologize for that. We're having some technical difficulties. And there he is. Chuck, you there? Alright, we're having, like I said, some technical difficulties, so we're going to do this.
Give me the flats of dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's awesome eat, man!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him! You got it! I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
All right. Chuck, you back? See you on there. I'm trying to figure things out.
Dude, I don't know what just happened, but the computer just basically laughed at me and told me that it didn't want to work for me, so I apologize. I think I lost my chat room and everything. Crazy. And now it won't let me open a chat room. Well, apparently Block Talk Radio is having some technical difficulties this evening, or it's just my computer. and I apologize for that. Way to throw me off my game. That's crazy, man. I've never had it happen to me before, where it completely like shut down the entire board, and now we've got to reboot the chat room. I hope everybody's still in there. So anyway, Easter was good. didn't get to get out and do any fishing. I was hoping to, but had family stuff to do, so no big deal. I know that a few guys got to get out and do some fishing, which is always good. I know Pepe got out and did some fishing and caught a bunch of reds, or a couple of reds and some trout, and found a bunch of tailing fish, which was pretty cool. This whole entire winter, I haven't really had an opportunity to see too many tailing fish, and kind of bummed about it, but I'm glad to hear they're still around and doing their thing. So let's see. Tonight's topic, I want to talk a little bit about bucket lists. I think that it's kind of, it's to me, it's something that I wanted to bring up because of the recent events that have taken place down in Everglades City, which is just north of where we were for our boondoggle down in Chokoloskee. That took the life of fishing legend and icon Jose Wahebe. And any of you guys that have ever watched his shows or got an opportunity to meet him or what have you would understand that we definitely lost a legend of the sport and a true gentleman and probably one of the greatest ambassadors to what we do. So it's definitely tough times, man. I mean, it kind of hits close to home for me. I've got some buddies that my buddy Derek Redwine was probably one of Jose's best friends for sure. And, I know Jose spent a lot of time in Merritt Island. In fact, I believe he had a home here. And, I got buddies, my buddy Jimmy, my buddy Tyler are all guys that have spent some time and hanging out around Jose and stuff. I got to meet him at ICAST a couple of years ago, and he treated me like I was a long lost friend. Had no problem with talking to me at all, and it seemed to me that the guy didn't take his fame, didn't let his fame go to his head, which a lot of people tend to do. He was more willing to just share his love and passion for the sport with those that were around him. I don't know. Mark, have you ever had the opportunity and the honor to meet Jose?
He came up to Montauk to tape a couple of shows, I'm going to say back in 2001, 2002, and I had the opportunity of meeting him. And like you said, man, I mean, one of those guys that if he saw something that he didn't know about, he'd come up and just be like, hey, show me what you were doing. And, he came out to Gone Fishing Marina where they were launching from. And, one of those guys that you walk up to him and he's like, hey, what's going on, man? What are they doing? And, how's the family? I mean, one of those guys, no matter what, real personal, and it was an absolute joy to sit down and talk to him. It was, a 20-minute conversation with the guy. But you walk away from that experience knowing that that was a great experience, something that you didn't have to worry about, turning up his nose at you. I just really wish I would have had a chance to, fish with him, and really pick his brain because the knowledge that he has, and he got his name from fly fishing, but his terminal, tackle, throwing, different lines and just the whole thing that he did for the sport, just amazing. And it's a true loss to the whole community.
Well, yeah, and in reality, if any of you guys out there are Shimano fans, you can thank Jose for probably half the things you have in your arsenal. I mean, the guy was just a tackle guru, man, and he really kind of help Shimano and G. Loomis kind of, I don't know, reinvent itself and really kind of go next level, you know, the Stellas.
Yeah, he was instrumental in the Therese Rod line and the Power Pro Howl Core. He was so big on that because if you watch his shows, you know, he's got, you know, a double line going to a shock to, you know, another double line. I mean, his leader setups were just amazing, you know, and he pushed for that hollow core, hardcore, and, you know, the Therese line, just amazing stuff there.
Yeah. I've gotten to, I had an opportunity to meet him, like I say, and talk to him for just a little while, and the time I got a chance to spend with him was I'll never forget it. I mean, I grew.
Did we lose Chuck again? Breaking up.
Oh my God, you kidding me?
We got you now, man.
You got. Good God.
We had you. There we go.
Guys, I'm sorry about the show. It's I don't know what's going on tonight. It's whatever. It is what it is. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Flip Pallet and Lefty Cray and those guys. Those guys are all legends of the sport, and they've done things to just really kind of take the sport to the next level from their generation. When Walker's K Chronicles went off the air, the next natural fit for TV was Spanish Fly. And, I mean, Jose was there to pick up right as Flip kind of was done with the Walker's K Chronicles show. And, man, it was perfect. It was great. His show was amazing. Was very similar to Flip's in the sense that it was educational, yet he told the story and he really made you want to be wherever he was. I mean, there's areas around the world that I don't even know, I can't even tell you how to pronounce them, and he's been fishing there before, and it's places I want to go to. you know, it's just sad, you know. I mean, in the world that we live in today, it seems that bad things happen to good people, you know, and only the good die young all the time. That's true. I mean, it's not something it's not a quote from just a song. It's true. I mean, whatever. It's just sad. It's really sad. But, so anyway, bucket list, man. And if you guys out there have any stories of Jose and you want to kind of share them real quick, feel free to call. Guest call in line is 714-816-4727. Or if you just want to talk about your bucket list, whatever might be on your bucket list, feel free to call. Again, that number is 714-816-4727. That should hopefully work. I still don't have a chat room. I don't know what's going on with that. But can you see the chat room, Mark? Is it up at all?
It keeps on saying it's trying to load it or my Flash player isn't up to date. And I just downloaded it today.
Oh, awesome. So anyway, if you guys are listening at home and you can't get in the chat, I apologize. I don't know what's going on with this thing tonight. But, yeah, bucket list, man. I don't know. I definitely have at least 5 species that I can throw out there that's on my bucket list. Bluefin tuna. I've yet to catch a bluefin tuna, and I really want to do that. I'd really like to go up to Massachusetts and do that. I think that would be a lot of fun. Not to bypass my southern region friends, but there's bigger tunas up there, a lot of them. And you know, rooster fish is definitely on my list down in Costa Rica. I'd love to get into some rooster fish. And I don't know, man. I've got a bunch of others we'll get into a little bit later. Mark, what are some of your bucket list fish?
I've got a few. I'd love to go out to Australia and catch barramundi and you know, the fish like that. You know, I kind of knocked off the snook at the Chokoloski boondoggle, but they were only little baby snooks. I want to catch a, you know, 30-plus-inch snook. on light tackle, tarpon, you know, all the ones down in Florida that I had never really had a chance to grab a hold of. You know, rooster fish. You know, I've caught a couple small roosters, but, I've caught small fish. I want the big boys. You know, that's what I really want. You know, and have the ability to head out to, some other climes in this world and, you know, just reef fish in general would just be awesome to catch. And personally, hook and land a grander marlin. That is huge on my bucket list. You know, something I've never had a chance to do or was a leader man on a trip that I was on, you know, working. So it's nice to have that, to finally do it for myself.
Yeah. Of course, the marlins are on my bucket list. I'm going to say that every species of marlins on my bucket list, I probably would just clump them into marlins. Yes. You know, and I had an opportunity last year to get a marlin. I had what I believe was a white marlin on for probably, I don't know, maybe 2 minutes. And it threw the hook after jumping like a madman for the beginning of the fight. And but it was awesome to have it on for as long as I did and feel the raw power that fish has. And I had a big blue marlin in behind the boat while we were tuna fishing the same day. Saw him all lit up. That was awesome just to check that out. And, but yeah, marlins are definitely on my list for sure. I'd really, really like to go down to Costa Rica and do some like long range, not long range, but like jump on a four wheeler, go down on a beach, like just way out of the way and do some surf fishing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of thing. And do some surf fishing or do some, kayak launching off the beach and do some fishing down there. That'd be really, really cool. But I mean, I've got my bucket list, unfortunately for me, is just never ending. I've got this goal in mind that I want to try and catch one of every major game fish species that's recognized by the IGFA before I die. So my bucket list is pretty big. That includes every species of trout all around the world and every species of bass and catfish and basically every fish that's known to mankind. So I don't think it'll ever happen unless, there's divine intervention and somehow or another my lotto ticket comes up or whatever. But I'm just such a fan of fishing. I want to experience it all, and I don't know. How do you like narrow it down? How do you say, this is the five species that I want to catch or, this is my small bucket list. I don't know how you do that, but, I got another caller here online. Let me see if it comes up. I think I just unmuted you. Are you there? Hello? Do I still have you, Mark?
Yeah, me.
All right, cool, man. Well, I unmuted it, but it's apparently my computer's frozen again. So we'll just talk. I don't know. How do you narrow it down to what you want to catch as far as your bucket list fish? I mean, it's such a hard task, to me anyway.
Yeah, I just unmuted the guy. Caller, you're live on the air.
Hey, guys, can you hear me? It's great.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, man?
Not much. How you guys doing?
I'm battling with Blog Talk Radio right now.
Yep, I hear you on that one. You still got the chat room up. There's still people in it, and people are listening in there, so I can watch that for you guys. But
I appreciate it.
Yeah, just getting ready to really kick the fishing season off up here, and all this bucket list talk's going to drive me nuts.
Yeah.
We had snow flurries here on Sunday.
Oh, my God, really? It's 90 degrees down here right now, Greg.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably
my
still...
wife was...
Go ahead.
My wife was working, so I wasn't going to get to go out anyway, but I'm outside working on the kayak, getting it rigged, and... Yeah, snow flurries started coming down. It's just like, what the hell? It's April.
Man, that's insane. That's insane. Trust me, I would love to trade you positions right now, believe it or not. I would love for you to be able to deal with the 90-degree heat and me to be able to catch snow flurries on my tongue. It would be a welcomed relief from the heat that we've been experiencing down here. Did you have a good Easter?
Yeah. Yes, we did. Got to spend time with the family. Had my brother and his girlfriend come up from Connecticut, where he's working, and got to spend time with them. And it was good. It's always good to spend time with family. So
Greg, what's on your bucket list, man? Bucket list of fish. It isn't to be the whole thing, because you're probably like me, you want to catch everything, but if you had, say, five species in particular that you really, really want to catch, what would they be?
That's so hard, because I haven't done enough fishing down in Florida. unfortunately, I got a bunch of northern species, but... a quick one would have to be, lump those marlin together all in one, so don't waste too many picks on them. Snook and tarpon would also have to be in the top five. And then I'll go back to some northern roots, and a 50-inch plus muskie. I've caught some smaller ones. Never caught anything much over 30, 36 inches. So a 50-inch muskie's definitely on the bucket list there.
That's awesome.
And then if I had to pick one more, I would go with a sturgeon. Those things look pretty cool to catch as well.
There you go. Throwing a little curveball in there. I didn't even think about the sturgeon.
Yep. Up in the Washington area, they look pretty awesome and pretty fun to catch.
Yeah, I've watched a bunch of fishing shows. In fact, one of our local TV personalities, Blair Wiggins from Addictive Fishing, he was out in, I want to say, either Oregon or Washington one. And they were catching some sturgeon. That was pretty cool. Kind of like catfishing, it seems, but not when you hook them. I like to get in the Colorado River. I hear that there's some giants in the Colorado River.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that would be interesting. So there's five for me there.
Cool. Yeah, my others would probably be, I'd really like to get a tarpon. Over 100 pounds on fly. I think that would be really, really cool. And let's see. So I've got marlins. I've got rooster fish. I got, this is going to sound dumb. Halibut. Man, I want to catch a halibut so bad I can't stand it. I want to catch a barn door. And it all relates back to when I was a kid. That was one of my favorite fish and still is one of my favorite fish to catch, the flatfish. Any of them. I don't discriminate if they're flat and their eyes are on the same side of their head. I like to catch them. And that's probably one of the main motivators for me to go to Virginia Beach, this boondoggle coming up, which we'll get into a little bit later on. I'm really, really wanting to get up there and get on some of the big doormats that Rob Choi and Wheeler and those guys keep telling me about. But catching a halibut, catching a halibut with my dad would be like the ultimate for me, because my dad taught me how to flounder fish. So, if that was ever a possibility, that would be a killer trip for me, for sure. But I don't know, man. You can get crazy with the bucket list of fish because there's just so many. I mean, I'd love to go down to South America and catch giant peacock bass on topwater plugs. Like to catch some of those big catfish they have down there that'll eat a topwater plug. I don't know, the tiger fish down there as well. There's the golden Dorado over, I think those are down in South America as well. There's just a pile of different fish that I would really like to catch. I don't know if I could ever really narrow it down to five or so, but I don't know. I guess if I had to say five, that would probably be my five. It would be the roosterfish, the marlins lumped into one, the halibut, probably a giant peacock bass on top water, the tarpon on fly, the big tarpon on fly, 100-pounder. That would probably complete it. I'd be pretty happy with that. But I've got nothing on my computer here. I can't pull up anything other than what I'm looking at now, which is basically just my callers and the room. So I apologize for guys in the chat room, but I can't see if you have any questions or any remarks or whatever. But I know that there's coming up. Go ahead, Greg.
There's not a whole lot of chat going on in the chat room, but we do have LGB in there, a handful of guests, Nun66, Pepe's in there, Red Raider Angler, and Steve Chapman just joined us as well.
Hey, guys. Pepe, call in, man. Number is 714-816-4727. Give us that fish report, man. I'm jealous. Pepe went fishing on Easter and found a bunch of tail and redfish, and I want to hear all about it. But so let's see. The 18th of April, I'm doing a seminar down in Strike Zone Fishing in Melbourne, Florida. We're going to do a kayak fishing springtime tactics / redfish seminar. I say it like that because it started off as a springtime tactics, and I guess it has now morphed into a redfish seminar strictly. But that's okay. If you guys ever had any questions about kayak fishing the local area, something that me and Chip were talking about doing for Kayak Fishing Radio would be to try and podcast my seminar. And I think that's pretty cool. I'm working right now with Brittany from Florida Sportswoman on trying to work out the logistics to that. I think she'll have a laptop available for me at the seminar, and I'm going to try to do my best to figure out how we can link that up. I think Chip said that I can work it kind of like its own show. We just won't announce that it's an actual show because I won't be able to take any calls or whatever. So we'll just kind of record it and then just podcast it. If anyone's interested in hearing my spiel for an hour about fishing down here in Florida. And I think we're going to do the same thing with you too, huh, Greg, up there. I know you're planning on doing a bunch of things here coming up soon, and I think that would be a cool way to kind of keep people involved with Kayak Fishing Radio, yakangler.com, and keep it kind of, you know, kind of fresh.
Yep. Yeah, I'm doing a River Days that I'm just assembling the information on, waiting on a link to a website and stuff. But I'm going to be out there working with one of the Jackson kayak dealers with a booth, and have some information on Kayak Fishing Radio and spread the word, and just have fun. It sounds like it'll be a good day out there. So probably try to get some sound bites and stuff like that while we're out there.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's things to look forward to. Also, too, if you guys haven't heard, I've got a, or I should say, myself and Pepe have a chapter of a kayak club going on here on the Space Coast Kayak Anglers. You can find that group on Facebook as well as yakangler.com. And if you guys would like to join, as long as you like to fish on the Space Coast, I'll accept you into the group there. I prefer to try and get some local people. And if you're already a member, please recruit all your friends. The more the merrier. We're just trying to get as many folks in it as we can. It'll be good times. We got a whole lot of things going on. I know that Kayaks by Bo is going to be doing their grand opening here shortly. I'll have a specific date for you guys as soon as I get it, of their grand opening. So but that'll be our home away from home, so to speak, where we'll be able to do some seminars and have some meetings there. So it should be good. It should be a lot of fun. Mark, has anybody else called in? Because I can't see it.
Hang on one second. Yeah, we got one more. Area code 305.
Hey, Peppy.
Peppy.
Hey.
What's going on, man?
How you guys doing?
I've been better, my friend. I can't. I'm like operating half a show tonight. It's weird.
Yeah, technical difficulties, huh?
2 weeks in a row. This is getting old. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. What can you do, man? It's Monday.
Yeah, Mondays, exactly. which brings me to a good point. This segment, this fishing report brought to you by Pepe, is sponsored by Dos Equis, a lager especial. So that's the Monday brew for tonight, I guess. I don't know, man. But tell us about your fishing trip, man, on Easter.
Yeah, man. I actually gotta thank my wife for this, because I actually was able to do the Easter egg thing and everything. Like, I don't know if some of you guys, I don't know if most people probably don't know, but I had triplets. I had 2.5-year-old, well, almost 3-year-old triplets. Yeah, 2 girls and a boy, and I still get out and fish a lot. I do quite a bit of fishing, quite a bit of hunting, but actually I did the Easter egg hunt thing with the wife and the kids and everything like that on Saturday afternoon, and actually was able to pull off a fishing trip yesterday morning on Easter, and the wife actually, she let me do it. So, I mean, the winds looked good, everything, I mean, the weather looked perfect for where I wanted to fish, so, I mean, I really wanted to get out there, so I actually got out there, and I got out there right at sunup, and there was only one other guy out there in a canoe. He was in a canoe, and the guy was brand new. He didn't have a clue what he was doing. I mean, a guy had met him there at the ramp, and he saw my rig up, and he saw my stuff, so he started asking me a bunch of questions. I had to start teaching him there. I taught him there for about 15 minutes. I sat there trying to teach him how to hook his artificials, his plastics, all that kind of stuff and everything, what to use. I mean, I gave him a few hooks, all kinds of stuff and everything on what to use, because he really did not have a clue what he was doing. But he did catch some trout, so he did all right. But I got out there, and first thing in the morning, got out there. Winds were kind of calm, but very calm. It was really, really calm out there. And paddled out to the area where I wanted to go. Didn't see any tails or anything like that at first, and just started seeing a bunch of bait just popping up all over the place and stuff. And sure enough, as soon as I started casting, they weren't hitting the top water. Started throwing top water first. They weren't hitting that. Started throwing some plastics out. And sure enough, the trout started hitting that. And every single trout that I caught, I must have caught easily anywhere between 10 to 15 trout, anywhere between 20 inches to 25 inches.
Nice.
I mean, yeah, it was constant. It was constant action with big trout. And then I hooked up a couple small reds, 17, 18 inches, something like that, just throwing at the trout. Same thing, you know, just fishing for trout. And about an hour later, you know, the winds picked up a little bit. And they were blowing, wind was blowing for a little bit, and then all of a sudden it just calmed down again. Once that wind calmed down again, those tails started popping up everywhere. I mean, there was tails. I don't know if you see, if some of you have seen the video that I took a video of the fishing, one of the reds that I caught yesterday. I have a video up on it. And if you notice in the background, you could see tail, you could see, while I'm fighting that fish, you could see reds running away from him. In the water, you could see the squirrels. You could see them running away. That's how many redfish I had around me yesterday. They were all over. And then,
what kind of camera were you using, man? What kind of camera were you using? Because your footage was amazing.
Man, all I'm using is that Kodak PlaySport ZX5. I think it is the ZX5, that PlaySport.
Yeah, man, it was pretty crystal clear, that footage, man. It was great.
Yeah, that camera works great for what it is. I just don't like the video editing of it, but it's doesn't have enough. You know, I want more to it, but I'm not an expert anyways in that kind of stuff anyways. I just know how to shoot and do my thing, whatever. But and I have it set up, the camera I have it set up in back of me on one of those Yak Attack portrait things that he has, that Luther has.
Yep.
And that thing works great, man. I love that thing.
Yeah.
Because I can film everything pretty much, but yeah, it just, you know, usually I have it off because, you know, I don't have that camera on all the time until I catch a fish. Once I hook up a fish and I turn that thing on and let the thing start filming. But it works great, and that ZX5, you know, it's $100 camera, something like that. It's not that expensive, so something cheap, you know, and it works great. It sure, you know, I would love to have a GoPro too, but I don't have $300 to dish out right now.
with almost 3-year-old triplets, brother, I wouldn't expect you to be able to just start dishing out money, so.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
but
don't tell my wife about the CI. Don't tell my wife about the new Stratic CI4 I just bought.
Your secret's safe with me, my friend.
Yeah.
And the rest of the Kayak Fishing Radio listening audience, hopefully.
Yeah, right?
Hey, it'll be on your Facebook page.
Chuck, yeah. We have another caller. The infamous with the golden voice, Mr. Greg Becker.
I thought we had gotten away from that music, but I'll take it where I can find it. Good evening, everybody.
Mr. Becker, how are you, sir?
It's just an unspeakable pleasure to be here after 30 minutes of trying to get the chat room to load and get Skype to work right, and the 727 number or the other number wouldn't answer right. It is my dedication to supporting you and your show and Kayak Fishing Radio that keeps me coming back, brother. So I'm here, and I'm glad to be here.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, my friend. I assure you that the frustration is not just on your side. It's clearly on my side as well. If I could put my fist through the computer screen right now, I probably would, just because I'm so frustrated. I've got nothing. The only caller I have on my screen right now is Wheeler. That's it. So,
well, I can understand how that would frustrate anybody, but...
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Pepe,
nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Tell everybody what kind of rig you're in, man, because we were talking about that when me and you fished together. I was checking it out, and man, you got the thing set up.
Oh, I got a Diablo Adios made by Diablo Paddle Sports, made out of by Thomas Flemings over in Texas. The Diablo Dios, I don't know if some of you guys probably know, have seen it. It's 12 feet long. It's not that long, but it's 36 inches wide, that thing. I mean, I could walk from tip to tip on that kayak mine and won't fall out. I'll admit, I did fall out one time. I did fall out one time, and that was during duck cutting season. I was out there messing around on the boat with my waders on and the whole stuff and everything like that, and sure enough, I went for a swim, but it wasn't the kayak's fault.
Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad, man. I think most of us who stand up have gone in the water at least once. I did it when all the guys were down for our fake boondoggle down in the lagoon. Yeah, exactly. And I actually had my waders on too because it was cold out, and I was standing up and I looked over and these two just giant redfish came swimming past me. And I guess I just had forgot that I was standing up in a kayak, and I tried to like turn around. And when I went to turn around to see him, I just stepped off the side of it. Like, I guess I thought I was on the bow of a boat or something. I stepped off the side, and it was ugly. I don't think anybody saw me, but maybe I think Wheeler saw me. I think
yeah,
didn't
I saw
you see
you
me?
Going.
Yeah, yeah. That was
it was graceful too, because it was like you wanted to step out of the kayak. You just turned to step.
Yeah.
And then I realized after you kind of floundered for a second once you hit the water that, ooh,
No, that wasn't planned.
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't planned. But anyways, no, that's cool, man. I like that boat. It was sweet looking, man. You've got that thing rigged to a T.
Yeah, it's nice. If you guys, if any of you guys, I mean, I have two of them. So if anybody's here in the Space Coast ever and they're fishing over here, and they want to borrow one of the Diablo Dios, I have two of them. So somebody, if you come down this way and you don't want to bring your kayak or something like that, you can let me know, and I have two of them. So I have one for somebody to borrow one, and it's rigged out just like mine. I mean, you sit high up. It's got a high chair just like the Jacksons do.
I think it's even higher than what I was in, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty high. It does sit up high, and it's not tippy either. You know, that's the thing about it. You're sitting up high. You don't actually have to, you know, I fish a lot, and I don't stand up. I mean, I stand up a lot, and I do pull a lot and everything like that, but sometimes when the water's too clear, like yesterday the water was so clear yesterday, I didn't want to stand up, you know, because I was scared that these redfish were going to see me, so I was sitting down the whole time, and I could still see tails all over the place. So it's comfortable. The only thing is, it's not, you know, I'll tell you, it's not a kayak for novice kayakers. Definitely it's not, because it's 36 inches wide. It's not easy to paddle. I mean, it's pretty wide, and you need a long paddle. You know, you need a really long paddle and everything like that. So, I mean, I've had a couple novice guys on my kayak a couple times, and they've had trouble paddling. You know, you got to know what you're doing, or else you're going to, you know, you'll wear yourself out in that thing. But it's, for me, as far as fishing-wise and everything like that, I can't ask for anything more. I mean, it's nice.
Yeah, I was impressed with it, man, just watching you paddle it around when we were fishing the other day. And, man, I liked it a lot. I may have to take you up on that just to try it out. I'm all about paddling everything that's out there. You guys know my affiliation. What?
Yeah, I'll take a picture of you. I'll take a picture of you while you're on and send it to Jackson. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, no problem. That's awesome. But listen, while we were on the topic of bucket list, man, do you have a bucket list of fish you want to catch?
My bucket list, I would say I'm right there with you as far as rooster tail. The rooster fish. One of those, definitely, you know, never been to Costa Rica. I've had friends of mine, a bunch of friends of mine, gone over there and caught rooster fish. You know, I would love to catch one of those. The same thing with the marlin. Never caught a marlin before. I've seen them out there, but never caught one. That would be right up there also. Same thing with the big tuna. Big tunas are one of those up there in Massachusetts, up there in what's it called? Martha's Vineyard up there, that a buddy of mine works. A buddy of mine is one of the captains on the Bacardi, one of the Bacardi boats. And they go up to Martha's Vineyard every single year. They go up there. And, man, the pictures that he brings back and he shows me with the tuna that they catch, my God, I can't believe those tunas that those guys are catching.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. My buddy Derek Redwine, originally from Boldwater, now with Bloody Decks, he went up there last year, and he's got a video online. I'll have to post it on my Facebook page. He's got a video of him catching I want to say it was close to a grander. It was just a giant bluefin, and you can watch the bite. Like, you can, because he's standing there next to the boat. And they've got the boat. They got the fish coming up and boiling right next to the boat. They're just chunking them. And all of a sudden, you just see, like, Derek's standing there in a full harness, and all of a sudden, he just, like, gets ripped over to the gunwale real fast, and the rod bends over and is going off. But you can see the splash, like, right on the other side of the gunwale from when the fish came up and clobbered the bait. And but no, it was a monster fish, man. It was just a huge tuna. And I would love to get my hands on one of those, man. I know the fight would be epic, but I'm with you on that one, bro.
I'd definitely like to do that. I mean, that's what I give you, three fish. They're pretty much I would want to catch. You know what? I'm not like you as far as I'm not a fly fisherman. To tell you the truth, I never even tried it. Put it that way. I've had friends of mine on my boat fly fish and everything like that. I still have never even grabbed a fly rod to do it. But as far as catching a tarpon, over 100-pound tarpon, something like that, I would definitely love to do that off a kayak. I mean, yeah. that's another thing. I mean, not even on fly, just a spinning reel. I mean, I would love to catch a 100-pound tarpon. And I might do that this year. I don't know. I might go down to the Keys in the summertime.
You don't need to, brother.
What's that?
You don't need to, man. We got 100-pound tarpon right off the coast right over here, right in Cocoa Beach.
Never done it up here. I've done it down in the Keys, down by in Isla Mirada and stuff. My parents have a place down there, so I know where the big tarpon are down there. I just never done it out of a kayak.
Yeah. Yeah, no, man, right here. Less than a few hundred yards off the beach, man. We've got them from Cocoa Beach Pier clear down to Patrick Air Force Base, and even further south than that, down around Sebastian sometimes, they're right off the beach too. And this is the time of year they're starting to show up right now. In fact, the last seminar that was held down there at Strike Zone was from Captain Mike Batterack, who is a really, really good friend of mine, and he is like the tarpon snook guy for around here. Like, if you guys want to come down to Florida and fish for tarpon and snook in the Indian River or off the beach, you got to contact Mike Batterack. He is the man, like, on a different level than anybody else that fishes around here for him, period. I don't care what anybody says. The guy is amazing. But go ahead, brother. I'm sorry. What else you got? Tarpon and whatever.
No, that's about it. That's about the fish. Those are the fish I got on my bucket list, pretty much.
Sweet.
Got a lot of other fish. I mean, all the, you know, snappers, groupers, all that kind of stuff. I've caught all the sailfish, caught all that pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. No, and that's just, you know what's funny, dude, is like not too long ago I was going through a fish identification book for North America, and I'm like, holy crap. Like, when I really started to check off all the different species I've caught, I'm like, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, I've done really, really well as far as the snappers, the groupers, the offshore species up here, all the intercoastal species, all the way from, you know, Jacksonville south, all the things like that. How did I forget to mention it? Permit on fly, bonefish on fly. If I could get a bonefish on fly and a permit on fly and a 100-pound tarpon on fly, I will stop fly fishing for the rest of my life. Period.
You won't. No, you won't.
Mr. Becker,
nope. No, you won't.
Dude, listen.
It's like crack. The first one's free, but after that, you know, there's a reason they say God damn the pusher man, and that's why, because the first time, you know, the tarpon will light up your drag, no doubt, although the tarpon on the fly is also the big tarpon on the fly is also on my bucket list. But the first time permit or a bonefish takes off, you know, and you break a pinky trying to get your palm around the reel, and it gets, you know, your finger gets half taken off your hand by the handle spinning, unless you got one of them big high-end unidirectional reels, you will be back.
Yeah, man, let me tell you, if I had a dollar for every opportunity I've had to go over to the Bahamas and go down to the Keys to fish for both species, where I had to pass up on those opportunities, I would be a very wealthy man. And it kills me. It haunts me to think about, like, one of my buddies, my buddy John, okay, just real quick story. My buddy John used to work for Hell's Bay and build some of the world's best flat skiffs, period. I don't think anybody can argue that. Hell's Bay makes an exceptional boat. But anyway, he got to go over to the Bahamas to do some work on the Abaco Lodge's Hell's Bay fleet. They needed some just body work done to them. So he gets to go over there for nothing and gets paid to go over there at the Abaco Lodge, which is completely surrounded by bonefish, like the most retarded bonefishing probably on the entire planet. And he wasn't a fly fisherman. He's getting into it now because he was made fun of so bad for using his spinner rod over there. But he said, dude, if I had a nickel for every bonefish I saw in a few days I was there, I could retire. It was the most ridiculous thing he's ever seen. Using a spinning rod, he caught, I think he said he caught like 7 or 8 the first day. And the guy that was fishing with him, using a fly rod, probably caught a dozen at least and missed a bunch of opportunities, just pulled hooks or whatever. But, I mean, I just want to go over there. I want to walk in the Morrows. I just want to walk and sight fish to bonefish. I think honestly, even though I know what you're saying, Greg, I understand. But for me, I honestly think that I could lay it down. I think that would be it. If I caught one of those species, a bonefish and a permit, eventually on fly, I have no interest in catching either one on spin. And I think that that's probably just the way that I'm built. I don't know, man. I don't know. I really, really want to do it. We were down in Belize, my wife and I, for our honeymoon. It was part of one of our stops during our cruise. And when we jumped out of the boat and we started swimming around the coral heads and stuff, I looked down and there's like 3 or 4 bonefish that just scoot by. I'm like, bonefish, really? Like, thank you. Come again, you know? Like, please stop by again sometime and say hello. And permit off in the distance. You can see them off in the distance. There's groupers and there's all kinds of fish. And then I get stories back from buddies of mine that have gone down there and fly fish down there for permit for bonefish. And it's just like retarded numbers, 15 to 20 fish a day. At least shots at on the bonefish side. The permit are much, much tougher to get on the fly. But 15 or 20 shots at permit a day and, you know, 15 or 20 caught. Bonefish a day. That's just incredible to me. I mean, it's, I don't know, whatever. To me, it just doesn't get any better. What's on your bucket list, Becker?
On my bucket list? Well, tarpon, a big tarpon from the kayak. Was hoping to be out there doing that this time this year, but it looks like I'm going to be either on the sidelines or watching as a support kayaker as we go into this season. Big tarpon on the fly, so I'm not sure if that counts like 1.5 buckets or how that fits in. But
that's one bucket.
Rooster fish is also in there then, obviously. And then the others are a little outside. I'm looking for an Arctic grayling on the fly.
Oh, nice.
On the fly. I don't know if you saw in the chat room. I had the chance many years ago to take the fire chief's job in Soldotna, Alaska. Right in the middle of the Kenai Peninsula.
Oh.
And my wife's first question was whether or not I'd be making enough money to send enough postcards home a year to stay close with the rest of my family. So I decided to stay married and not take that job, but I was looking forward to the opportunity to do grayling and stuff like that. Cutthroat trout on a super lightweight fly rod. And then probably golden trout in the mountains of Arizona, New Mexico, down in that area again on the fly. Those are on the bucket list.
All right. Real quick to go on the outside, like you just went grayling and all that, and dude, that again, it's my bucket is growing. I've got a 55-gallon drum now, and as we're sitting here talking, I'm thinking to myself, man, I don't have enough room in my bucket for all the fish. I really want to get over to England and do some trout fishing over in England.
Yeah.
Yep. Really bad.
Getting along the test and along the chocolates and all that.
Man, I'm telling you. And the messed up thing about it is I truly have a very good relationship with a family. In fact, I'll call them basically like my second family of friends. We actually call them Team England. I don't know. You guys just have to understand. I met these folks through the first tackle shop I worked at, Fisherman's World in Port Canaveral. And they came in just as customers, and we hit it off real well. And since then, we've developed almost a family-type relationship. And they're just the greatest people I think I've ever met, greatest human beings that I've ever met. They've been just super, super nice to me and taken really good care of me as far as taking me fishing and that kind of thing. But anyway, they live in England. They have a house here in Merritt Island, and they've offered on several occasions, hey, anytime you want to come over to England and fly fish, we don't fly fish, but you know, there's a trout hatchery right down the street from our house. There's tiger, there's tiger trout in the trout hatchery, and there's all these different species. Oh, and there's a river that runs like right past the backyard, and I'm just like, oh my God, you're killing me! Stop! Well, I just want to.
That's funny mentioning tiger trout, because my favorite trout stream that I was fishing since I was two in upstate New York has one of the heritage strain of native brook trout that are left in the Northeast. And we you know, killed one and sent it in for DNA and the whole nine yards. But there's a section of that it also has a run of native brown trout. And it's one of the few, actually the larger scale and more than like one or two a year, places where tiger trout are being bred outside the hatchery, and you're finding them in large numbers in that stream. And I've been lucky enough to catch 10 or 15 over the past few years. And tiger trout's a pretty cool thing to find.
You're my hero, sir.
No, just lucky.
No, those things are awesome, man. They're beautiful fish. I'll tell you, I love the freshwater trout species. I really wish that the state had a freshwater trout fishery. And it really bums me out that we don't. But we were up in Gatlinburg, and my wife cleverly decided not to mention the fact that there's a trout stream that runs right through the middle of Gatlinburg. She'd been there before, and I hadn't. And so I kind of made it a point that her family take me over to the local Walmart so I can get a fishing pole, because I'm standing there one day, and one of the days we're there, and I'm watching this old guy standing on the on a little bridge catching these little rainbow trout, and I'm just like, I'm drooling. Like, I'm like, really? There's rainbow trout here. Like, I've never caught one before. There, I could see them right there by the rocks. They're swimming around. So we go to Walmart. We get the rod or whatever. I come back, this old guy, this is really funny, slips me a canister, like a film canister, 35 millimeter film canister, like it's narcotics, like hide it. You know, here, don't let anybody see you have this. And I open it up, and inside is like two pieces of corn, like a little dough ball, and I think a worm or something. And he's like, put one of those pieces of corn on there, but don't let anybody see you use it. It's illegal. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I'm going to go to jail trying to catch this little stupid little trout. So I hook it up. I throw it out. Boom, I catch this little tiny rainbow. I mean, it was smaller than most of the ballyhoo that I would use offshore. But I had the stupidest grin on my face. I was so excited about catching this little tiny rainbow trout. And I'm like, I'm yelling to my wife, honey, please take my picture. Take my picture of this trout. And she's like, I've never seen you this excited over catching such a small fish. And it was just the idea of catching a rainbow trout, man. It was awesome. But no, the trout species are definitely on my list for sure. But let's see. Oh, let me get to a couple of things real quick. Let's see. Sunday, April the 15th at 1:30 down at the IGFA Museum in Dania Beach, is there the family from Jose Wajeve is going to host a memorial service in his honor. Is that you, Mark, the background?
I think that's you, man. It's probably me. Probably
it's
the
Pepe.
White kids.
Oh, there you go. It's Pepe. It's all right, buddy.
It's all kids.
Yeah, no problem. Mute him. Mute that guy. No, I'm kidding. Let's see. Yeah, they're going to do a celebration of life in honor of Jose Wajeve. Again, it's Sunday, April 15th, 1:30 p.m. down at the IGFA Museum in Dania Beach. So if any of you guys down here want to attend, do so. I'm sure it'll be a giant turnout of everyone who's ever met the guy, and just friends, family, whatever. So it should be really cool. Also, too, don't forget, we got the boondoggle coming up. Mark, hit it. You got to do the boondoggle. Get back to the computer. Quick.
Where's it at? No, I can't find it. No, I got it. I'm going to get it. Hang on. Wait a minute.
Boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
There you go, boondoggle. The next boondoggle will be on Columbus Day weekend in Virginia Beach, Virginia, at First Landing State Park. For all of those who are interested, make your reservations now. I think cabins are filling up. I believe the wife and I are probably going to try and do that here in the next couple of days as far as reserving our cabin. I really want to make it to this trip. I think it'll be a lot of fun. If it's anything like the Chokoluski trip, it'll be a blast. So for those of you that are listening that have no idea what a boondoggle is, basically it's a family-oriented camping excursion.
Boondoggle.
There you go. Good job, Mark.
Thank you.
Anyway, it's open to everybody. It doesn't cost you anything to show up unless you want to stay there or whatever. So if you're driving from out of town, whatever your reservation cost you, food, that kind of thing, that will cost you money, but there's no like entrance fee or any of that kind of stuff. We usually have a potluck dinner on Saturday night, some sort of a low country boil on Sunday. I believe we're going to do the same thing, keep kind of the tradition going. Fishing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, possibly Monday if you're going to be around. And hopefully flounder. And if I drive all the way up to Virginia Beach and don't catch a flounder, I'm going to be pissed. I'm just throwing that out there. So whoever needs to do recon, Rob Choi, you, Wheeler, anybody, do your recon. Just bring me to the flounder. Show me the flounder. Like, show me the money. Show me the flounder. It's all I need to see. I don't care about a striped bass. I've caught thousands of them. I don't care about a tog. I've caught thousands of them. I've caught thousands of flounder, but I love every one of those ugly bastards. So please, show me to the flounder. But, yeah, it should be great, man. And that's the beauty of the boondoggles, too, is that it's truly a family atmosphere. It's designed to bring kayak fishermen and women and children together. And just share in what we love, man. It's this kayak fishing thing is more of a lifestyle than it is anything else, I think. We all kind of eat, live, and breathe, and sleep it. And our stupid little plastic boats are like our obsession. So, you know, it should be a lot of fun. But with that, I think I'm almost to my hour. Am I past my hour? What time is it? I have no idea.
Now you're past it, I think.
Yeah, whatever. Let's keep it going. The hell with it. What do I got? An extra 30 minutes, 20 minutes, something like that? Fishing in the Central Florida area in the not-so-spring. It's been more like summertime. What was your bait of choice out there the other day, Peppy?
My bait of choice actually was... I was using a nuclear chicken color gulp shad is what I was using. That was the main bait that I was using.
Get out of here.
Yeah. That nuclear color, that nuclear chicken color, whatever. I hardly ever even use that thing, that color. And it was working.
Yeah, apparently.
I mean, it worked. You know, there was a flats boat next to me. One of those times that I had a bunch of tails around me, there was a flats boat that came in, and he was literally probably 40 yards from me. That's how close he was to me, this guy. I mean, he was right on top of me, and he was chunking bait. He was chunking mullet, and they weren't touching the mullet. And they were They were going after that nuclear chicken stuff that I had, that electric chicken gulp.
That's crazy, man. That's
I can
crazy.
Hear the guys on the boat, too. The guys on the boat were asking what I was using, and I can hear one guy saying, I think he's using gulp.
That's crazy. You know, I probably used nuclear chicken or electric chicken, either way you want to. I mean, everyone's got their own some kind of chicken. Chicken on a chain, a different color.
Yeah.
But everyone's got, like, a chicken color. But I probably use electric chicken 100 times, and I've never caught a fish on it. And you know what, man? It's one of those colors that, like, you walk into the bait shop and you look on the wall and you're like, no. Like, it just, it shouldn't work. I've never seen anything cruise through the river that looked like that. So, no, I'm not going to use it. But there's days where it's the answer, man. I've actually fished with a buddy of mine a few times, and he used it and outfished me. And I'm like, what are you throwing? And he's like, nuclear chicken. And I just refuse to throw it. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. Not happening. That's awesome, man.
Oh yeah.
And you said you got those trout on top water?
No, they weren't hitting the top water. They weren't touching the top water.
Okay.
Yeah, they weren't touching the top water. They weren't using the I also used Mueller the 17MR. I tried that. They weren't touching that thing. Pretty much they were just hitting the plastics, you know. And, you know, I put one of those camo-colored gulp on and really didn't have much with that. And then I had I had one of those electric chicken ones there, and I grabbed that, put that on there, threw that. And next thing you know, everything was hitting that thing. So then I said, what the heck? If they're hitting this, I'm going to keep that thing on there.
That's awesome. As the rubber, as we hear the rubber chicken sound.
That's a new sound of nuclear chicken.
There you go. Anytime someone throws nuclear chicken, we get the squeak, squeak. It's ridiculous. So that's cool, though, man. I'm glad you had great success out there, and I'm jealous because I would love to have been out there with the long rod and trying to get some on fly, especially those tailors.
You would have loved it. You would have been out there with your fly rod. I mean, you would have definitely had your opportunity. I mean, they were literally tailing 15, 20 yards in front of my kayak. I mean, right there. I mean, I was right on top of them with the fly rod. Would have been, I mean, it was the perfect setup for it.
That's crazy.
Yep.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Just had to happen on Easter morning.
Yeah. Great. Mr. Becker, any word on your conditions or whether or not you're going to be able to get out on the water at all this summer?
We have lost Mr. Becker.
The man with the golden voice is gone. All right, Wheeler. Are you going to be doing any fishing this week, buddy?
Me, no. The Commandant has gone back out to plunder in the wild blue yonder. So I'm stuck to daddy duty. So
that's all right, man.
It's going to be, you know,
I know that.
It gives me time to reevaluate and help my kayaks out.
Pepe's like, I know the feeling, buddy. Don't worry about it.
That's right, man.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, man. If you speaking of kids, and it's said on, I think, every fishing show you ever see, it's written in every magazine you ever read, to take the kids fishing, man, if you want to feel like a kid again, if you really want to, like, enjoy the outdoors like you did when you were a kid, take a kid fishing. I mean, the last time I took Trey with me fishing, it was like the first time I'd ever seen a tailing redfish. And we paddled out on this one flat that I always find fish on. Every time I go there, I know I can catch a redfish there. And there was just tails everywhere. It was ridiculous. And it was right before dark. I took Trey and we paddled over, and I look over and I see all these tails sticking out of the water. And I'm like, Trey, you got to be real quiet, buddy. You know, my son is like, at the time, 2.5 maybe. Yeah, quiet in a kayak. Good luck. So after he did a drum, after he decided to perform a drum solo on the crossbar in my wife's kayak, because I wasn't in my Cuda, because I just don't feel safe with him sitting in front of me in that boat. No offense, Jackson. It's just I need a big tuna for that. Hint, hint. I was like, all right, are you done with your drum solo? And he's like, huh? Because he had no clue what I was talking about. But I said, all right, we got to be really, really quiet now. And he's like, okay, Daddy. So I said, do you see that thing sticking out of the water right in front of us? He's like, yeah. I'm like, that's a redfish. He goes, ooh, I want to catch it. So I make a cast for him with a paddle tail or shad tail. I hand him the rod. He starts reeling it in. I'm like, just reel, buddy. Just keep reeling. Just keep reeling. He just kept reeling, kept reeling, kept reeling, all on his own. I watched that tail drop, and I watched that wake start to push, and I was like, oh, my God, it's going to happen. And I swear, before the bite even happened, I had tears in my eyes. Like, it was the most unreal experience of my probably of my entire life. The rod doubles over. He almost loses it out of his hands. I reach up, grab it, and I set the hook on the fish. I hand it back to him, and he reels in his first redfish. And to watch him smile after me landing the fish in the kayak with us, before I told him to hold it, and he freaked out and told me no, was the most just unbelievable experience of my entire life fishing, period. I mean, I have yet to have anything happen out on the water that could possibly top that. And it was awesome. I got to share it with my son. Like, how crazy is that? So he caught his first redfish before he turned three, a sight casted redfish nonetheless. That he didn't really sight cast. I did, but whatever. He did the whole thing. He reeled the bait, presented it right. Fish followed it, ate it. I kind of gave it an extra little hook set so it wouldn't fall off because we had lost one prior to that. And he caught his first red, man. It was awesome. And I'm telling you, every day since then, it's been nothing but, Daddy, can we go fishing? Daddy, can we go fishing? He fishes in the bathtub. I don't know if you guys saw my Facebook video. But he fishes in the bathtub.
That.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
How awesome is that? He's like, I catch a redfish. I had to put him back. I caught trouts. Yeah. I'm like, how cool is that? Like, really? You know? And it's all about the building blocks. It's all about, you know, getting them involved will keep them out of trouble, and it's so good for them. It's so good for their spirit, man. And you know, one of the things I think that we're going to do for Trey, or I think actually my mom and dad are going to be doing for Trey, is getting him the lifetime sportsman's license for Florida for his birthday this year. So that's really, really cool, man. I mean, he's ate up with it, and kids will be. If you take them to a spot where you know they're going to catch fish, if you take a kid to an area where they can catch dink trout, where they can catch pinfish, or if you're freshwater landlocked, you can go catch brim. It doesn't matter. If you keep them entertained with catching something, anything, they're going to love it. You know, don't take them out on the water and go exploring for the long lost 30 plus inch sea trout, you know, that only Peppy and a few other people can catch.
Yeah,
but you know, take them to an area where you're pretty sure they're going to be able to have some success. They're going to love it. They're going to want to go back. Dad's out there listening. That's going to lead to a whole lot of extra kitchen passes because it's really easy to get a kitchen pass when you're going to take the kid fishing. So that's a little tip there for you if you're like Adam from Yak Angler. Who's going to be a father this year for the first time down the road, you can use that excuse. But, honey, I'm going to take Trey fishing or whatever your kid's name is. It works. But anyway, yeah, just make sure you guys take kid fishing. That's very important. A couple more things I want to get to. I'm going to wrap it up tonight. I'm so sorry for all the technical difficulties that we had. If you're still in the chat room, anybody, thank you very much for showing up tonight. Guys who are on the line, Peppy and Wheeler, I know Becker dropped. Thank you so much for being on the show, man. It's always an honor and a privilege to talk to you guys. But real quick, my NASCAR bit. I want to thank Jackson Kayaks for all the support. Bending Branches Paddles, Yeti Coolers. Who else to say? YakAngler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource. If you guys have not gone to YakAngler.com lately, please do so. It is probably one of the best resources for strictly kayak fishing. Mark and Adam do an amazing job putting that website together, and the more support you guys show them, the better the website can get. And
looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out YakAngler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
There you go. And out of control. And BloodyDecks.com. If you guys aren't a fan of Bloody Decks, you haven't been on BloodyDecks.com, you need to go check it out. It is probably the most used fishing resource on the internet. All things fishing. I mean, a lot of us that are kayak fishermen do other styles of fishing. We fish from boats, we fish from shore, whatever. We, you know, there's all different ways we like to fish. And Bloody Decks definitely covers all of it worldwide. I think there's 80,000 members on BloodyDecks.com. So that's really cool, man. Ocean Potion Sunscreen. It's summertime, folks. Time to make sure you start applying sunscreen to your face, to your ears, to your nose. Fired. I don't really know what that had to do with sunscreen, but we'll go with it. If you don't apply sunscreen to your nose and your ears and the sensitive areas of your body, then you're going to end up with major problems down the road. And Ocean Potion sunscreen just so happens to make zincs and lip balms and everything else that you could ever need to make sure you're covered up really well. They also manufacture aloe, which is nice whenever you forget to wear your sunscreen and you get burned. So there you go. And then don't forget Tackle Webs, Captain Mike Ortego and Tackle Webs. I know there's a few of you guys that are out there that already have them. If you don't, check out TackleWebs.com. I'm telling you, it's the best extra piece of equipment that I've ever put on my kayak, period. I have it underneath the seat of my Jackson. When I'm sitting in the high position, it's easy for me to get to Paxos Off Plastics rather than having to try and reach around to the little pocket on the back of the seat. I could just reach down underneath the seat and pull out whatever plastics I need, or sunscreen or your cell phone or whatever else you want to hide in there. It's snacks for us hefty fellows, snacks. It's a great place to put your snacks. So, yeah. It just so happens that one of those big grab bags, what in the world's going on? It just so happens that one of those big grab bags of Doritos will fit in a Tackle Webs underneath your seat. So now, anyhow, that's pretty much it. Wheeler. Anyway, guys, listen, I appreciate God. Just wait till Wednesday, dude. It's cool. Don't forget, tomorrow night we got the Double L's, the Lozier Clan, doing their thing. We got, it sounds like Cold War going on at Pepe's house. Good God. Wednesday night we got Mark the Landing Crew Wheeler, who won't be able to say anything for all the sound bites I'm going to be pushing during his show. Thursday night we've got,
wow, that's not my house.
Thursday night we got the Godfather Chip Gibson and his show out of Atlanta. All of these shows are 8 o'clock Eastern except for the Spike and Ike show in California, which will be at 11 o'clock Eastern, the late God, I okay. I'm going to drill very small holes in your kayak in Virginia Beach, my friend. Anyway. All right, whatever. With that, I'm done. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for being here. I'll talk to you guys next time. If we're not friends on Facebook, find me. Charles Levi Jr. is my name on Facebook. Dude, stop. Seriously. Follow me on Twitter. Redfish Chuck's on Twitter. I guess it's Redfish Chuck at Twitter. I don't know how that works. And if you have any questions for me regarding anything fishing related or otherwise, feel free to email me at chuckskayakadventures@hotmail.com. Wheeler, if you don't mind, sir, I can't access any of the clips. Hit my music and we are done.
All right, good night.
Take it easy. Tight line. Good fishing.
Good night.